Growth Mindset Guru. I help people articulate what they want, design a plan for them on how to get there, and then hold them accountable. My podcast, just another way of getting you to open up to yourself of what you really want to have. Welcome, welcome, welcome back to the Growth Mindset Guru podcast. I'm Coach Ronald Hunt, and it's been my pleasure to break down John Maxwell's 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership with you and for you. Oh my goodness, from the beginning of this year. And here we are, beginning of May, and we're wrapping up. And it's so super exciting because there's a new chapter of my life, there's a new chapter of your life coming up. And hopefully it involves leadership, because leadership is such a cool concept, and we've been able to give you so much ground level support here. We've given you the foundations, we've given you the second level, we've given you the things that you need to think about that you weren't thinking about to up your leadership game. So here we are, almost at the end. We're going to talk about the law of timing today. And the law of timing is phenomenal and one of my favorites, because when to lead is important as to what to do and where to go. And there are two times that we're going to lead. We're going to lead in a crisis. This is what's going to determine us and have us remembered as a leader more than anything else. So the things that I like to say about the crisis leadership is, what is the best thing I can do or we can do right now to start stemming the bleeding, to give ourselves a chance to breathe, to come up with a better plan? Because you're not going to have a perfect plan in crisis. In fact, most people make bad decisions in crisis. That's why I talk about planning so much. So we have fewer crisis situations. And the other time that we talk about timing is when we have a plan and times are calm, patience can be your friend. So we're going to jump into crisis now, because everybody loves to talk about crisis and place blame. And the first example we're going to give you, there is plenty of blame to go around. We're going to talk about New Orleans in 2005, end of August, beginning of September. There was a hurricane coming to town. Unfortunately, New Orleans is 6 feet below sea level on average. Never a good thing. So, there was a warning from the federal government to the city and the state, and the city and the state kind of did very little, and that's not good. And I'd like to say right now that there's everybody's fault, but we're going to place fault mostly on the person who did the least when they needed to do the most, and that was the mayor. His name was Roy Nagin. He didn't have plans in place. And if you can imagine being mayor of a city that's 6 feet under sea level with a hurricane approaching, you should have a file cabinet of plans, of best practices, next best practices, crisis practices, all the possibilities that you are going to face, because it's kind of like it's inevitable. If you live in California, you expect a earthquake here and there. Now, there are people who build homes on the edge of cliffs in California. Maybe that's the kind of thinking that got Ray Nagin in trouble. So it took him 2 days after he had the information that the big one was coming, to order a mandatory evacuation. And that was less than 24 hours before the hurricane would make landfall. And that was just too late. So his plan B in crisis was, he told them to go to the Superdome. That was the city's shelter of last resort. That was in a folder somewhere. The problem? There were no supplies. He told them they had to bring their own supplies. bring 2 or 3 days worth of canned goods. Bring something to sleep on. There weren't working bathrooms. There's no staff of the Superdome available to get food there because there was no city coordination with private contractors to do that. Bring your own pillows and blankets. It didn't work. And it was an unmitigated disaster from day one through day five when most of the people were finally evacuated out of the Superdome. So a couple days later, the Director of Homeland Security, Michael Cheroff, decided he should say something instead of being involved on the ground with the state and the city and the local aid agencies before the fact. So he declared Katrina an incident of national significance, which may have been the one of the least accurate descriptions of a disaster I've ever heard of. So he didn't show a lot of federal concern. So a day after that, the Red Cross requested permission to take water, food, and supplies to the people who were stranded. But Louisiana, in its infinite wisdom, denied the request because they didn't think it was quite time yet. So Sunday, September 4th, 6 days after New Orleans flooded, the evacuation of the Superdome was finally complete. There's a lot of death. There's a lot of tragedy. There's a lot of just unsanitary situations those people had to live with. So the way Katrina was handled shows leadership timing at its worst. Total deaths of Katrina, 1,836 that we know of. And out of that, 1,577 of those were people from Louisiana. And 80% of those were in New Orleans, in Orleans and St. Bernard parishes. If the leaders had paid greater attention not only to what they did, but also to when they did it, many more lives would have been saved. So there are only really four outcomes when a leader makes a move. We have the first one. The wrong action at the wrong time leads to disaster, and that's what we saw here. Whether you lead a department or a small team and you take the wrong action at the wrong time, your people will suffer and your leadership will suffer because people will remember that decision that you made. The second thing that could happen is the right action at the wrong time brings resistance. And this is a very hard lesson for many people to learn. Because good leadership timing requires many things. It requires understanding. Leaders must know what's going on. It requires maturity. You have to be doing it for the good of the organization. You have to show confidence. You always have to show confidence, especially in crisis. We are doing this. It's the right thing to do. You can leave out the right now part of it. Decisiveness. Again, if you go, well, what do you guys think we should do when the water is up to your chest? People aren't going to follow you at that point. Experience. Point to a similar situation or a comparable situation that you or somebody else has figured out. And say, this is how it worked in that situation. Let's do it that way and move on from there. Intuition. Timing often depends on intangibles, such as momentum and morale. If you guys are coming off a great win in your division last week, people are going to be more bought in to doing what you need them to do this week. Preparation. If the conditions aren't right, leaders must create those conditions. Prepare your team for success before you have a crisis, and you will have better success during your crisis. And this is the lesson from the right action at the wrong time. If a leader repeatedly shows poor judgment, even in little things, people start to think that having him or her as the leader is the real mistake. Number three, we can take the wrong action at the right time. That's always a mistake. And you lose collateral, you lose forward momentum, and that's really the shame. The decision to cut your losses or to double down your investment is one I think about all the time, because I see leaders in transition all the time, where the things that serve them well to get them to this level are not going to take their team to the next level. And they have to leave some of those successful things behind or delegate them to their team in order to pick up the new skills that they need to move the team forward. And then the best case scenario, we take the right action at the right time. And that is what results in success. When the right leader and the right timing come together, incredible things will always happen. An organization achieves its goals, reaps incredible rewards, and gains momentum. Success almost becomes inevitable. Here's a quote from Winston Churchill. There comes a special time in everyone's life, a moment for which that person was born. That special opportunity, when he seizes it, will fulfill his mission, a mission for which he is uniquely qualified. In that moment, he finds greatness. It is his finest hour. I've had a few of those moments in my life, and that is the greatest wish I have for all of you, is to have moments like that. So the second example that John Maxwell is going to share with us is a couple lessons from the Civil War, where either side, if they had been more decisive, and made the right preparations or made the right decision at the right time, could have turned the tide of the war. And as a result, the war was extended for years and years and hundreds of thousands of additional deaths. Leaders from both sides had known what to do to achieve victory, but they failed to follow through at the critical moment. Only the right action at the right time will bring success. Anything else exacts a high price. No leader can escape the law of timing. Here is our quiz. I expend as much effort figuring out the timing for an initiative as I do figuring out the strategy. I would say that's about a 2 for me. My timing isn't always perfect. I'm the first one to admit that. I make myself lists, and then I try to put them in the calendar in the logical space that I think it will evolve. Life has a funny way of getting in between that from time to time. I will launch something using a less than ideal strategy because I know the timing is right. 3, I've done this for all of my entrepreneurial journey. There is a time to move. There is a time where you can reap rewards and figure out the last 20%. And that's why I gave myself a 3. I can sense whether or not people are ready for an idea. 3, if people are looking down, if people are looking at their phone, if people are checking their email, when you're asking them to move, it's not going to be a good outcome. I can sense that right away. I try to get people up. I try to get people moving. If you can get them to exercise, to breathe, to do something to break the chain, turn on some music. Sometimes you can get people to dance. All those things change outcomes quickly and change moods quickly. So here's our review. Does timing play a part in your strategy? So we're going to take out a piece of paper and we're going to review the major actions you've initiated in the recent past and discern how much attention you have actually given to timing. And this is going to take some time, and this is not one of those sit down and write for 5 minutes exercise. This is one of those outline and try to fill it in over a day or so exercises. So let's take some time to analyze some recent failed initiatives. for your organization, department, or team to determine whether they're caused by the wrong action or the wrong timing. To help you answer the following questions, you'll need two of these, at least two of these. What was the goal of the initiative? Who was the individual responsible for leading it? What factors were taken into account while the strategy was planned? Whose experience did the strategy draw upon? What was the condition or temperature of the organization at the time of the launch? What were the market or industry conditions? What leverage was available and being used to aid in the initiative? If people had to work late, did you bring in dinner? Did you provide childcare? Did you do something for people? Did you give them gift certificates to take, you know, for meals to take home to their families? Something. What factors were clearly working against it? Might the initiative have been more successful had it been launched either earlier or later? 100% timing there. Why did the initiative ultimately fail? And this is a hard exercise. And you're going to go back and you're going to rewind this 30 seconds or 60 seconds and listen to those again. And maybe put them up on a whiteboard. And ask your team to help you. Why didn't this work? What could we have done differently? How could I have supported you more? Don't take it personally. Leadership is a long game. It's okay to admit that you are not perfect, as long as you show that you're willing to get better. So you need to be as honest as you can with the information you have. And here's where the rubber meets the road. Here's what we're going to do to get more positive outcomes. Is everybody ready? I know you are. We're going to practice more understanding. We're going to practice more maturity. We're going to practice more confidence. We're going to practice more decisiveness. We're going to show examples of experience where our team or a similar team has conquered the situation. We're going to talk about intuition and why we feel that our cause is right and why we should do it this way. Preparation. Have we done everything to have things ready? I talk in my new business, where we're trying to help solve global warming, of having a wind turbine mounted on an intermodal device. And the intermodal device is basically, you think of it as a truck bed, but it's a truck bed that can also be lifted onto a rail line. It can also be attached to a helicopter to drop into an emergency situation so that the Superdome could have power in 15 minutes if this happens, when they ran out of power. Think about that. So our cause is good. We're working very hard to help solve global warming as part of that initiative. In the spare time, we've wrapped up this episode a little bit early today. We've given you back 5 minutes of your life. I want you to take that 5 minutes to start sketching out what you're going to do to lead with the right timing, with the right plan. And it doesn't have to be the perfect plan, because in crisis, again, we do not have always perfect plans. If we have good planning and good resources stockpiled going into what we know could be a crisis situation, we're always going to be better off. I'm Coach Ronald Hunt. This is the Growth Mindset Guru Podcast. It's always such an honor to be able to send these words worldwide. Stay tuned. We'll be back next week with our next to last lesson on leadership.